Several months ago, I asked Pastor Matt about church membership. We arranged everything, arranged the class, and I mentioned it to my mother and my aunt. And both of them asked if I was getting baptized. My response was, I thought I was. I was brought up Methodist, and as a teenager, I got involved in the Presbyterian Church. Through this journey of church membership, I was not alone. John Walter, as Pastor Matt mentioned, was at the class and was planning on getting baptized today. His plans changed when he was in an accident. I'm pleased to hear that he is doing well. But so why does God allow that to happen 2 days before his baptism? Why does God allow suffering? Why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? These questions are objections to Christianity that some of you may have heard before when it's you or someone close to you. It may cause you to question or even lose your faith. Across the nation, 2/3 to 3/4 of our young adults will walk away from the church. I was one of those. Only 1/3 of those ever come back, and I'm pleased to say I'm one of those. When I walked away from the church, when I walked away from my faith, it was 1995, and I was sitting in a field in Kansas. I was on active duty at the time, stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. A sergeant came out, picked me up from the field, and we went to Captain Chase's office. When the chaplain came in, I knew what this was about. I had grandparents, I had elderly relatives. So when the chaplain started, PFC Hurley, we regret to inform you that much I expected. What I did not expect was when he said, your brother passed away. My brother was 16 at the time. He was not one of my elderly relatives. That hit me hard. That hit me real hard. And I turned to alcohol to dull the pain. And when alcohol wasn't enough, I turned to drugs. And I had some friends who were involved in the occult. And I completely and utterly turned my back on God. ...9/11 happened. I was in National Guard at the time. I was actually in Germany at the time with the National Guard. We watched the United States go from being at peace to being at war. I was in the military, and I watched the military make that transition. And I was infantry. And infantry only has one job, and that is to make that guy over there die for your country. And he's trying to make me die for his country. And I got thinking, if I go to Iraq or Afghanistan, if I get killed over there, who's going to remember me and for what? I didn't like the answers that I came up with. And sometime in there, I thought of my life that I've lived and how it wasn't fair that my brother was taken at such a young age and how I blamed God. But there was one time I was on the porch of my grandmother's house and God answered. I heard a voice. It wasn't my own. And it said, why do you blame me? I was brought up in the church. I knew better. And for the first time in a long time, I prayed. And it was a simple prayer. It was the tax collector's prayer. Forgive me, God, for I am a sinner. And he forgave me. My life started to turn around. I prayed. I was working dead-end jobs. And I prayed for a job, a career. And God sent me to prison. This April, I'll have 15 years in the Department of Corrections. I'm currently a sergeant at Rockview. And I was lonely. And I prayed, "Dear God, give me someone to share my life with. Give me someone to love." And God said, "Hey, dummy, how about your high school girlfriend?" In 2005, my old high school girlfriend and I got married. And we have two beautiful kids together. But there lies the next problem. I had a career. I had a family. And as my mother says, life happens. I got busy raising kids. That God got put on the back burner. See, God is not a cosmic vending machine. Insert a prayer, get a blessing. That's not where He should be in my life. That's where He was till this summer. This summer I heard a story about a Los Angeles police officer who pulled over a drunk driver. The driver was a parolee who was not only drunk, but had a gun on him. The officer was about to conduct a field sobriety test when the parolee decided he's not going back to jail. He turned and drew his gun. He had the drop on the officer. This officer had previously believed that his bulletproof vest could stop a bullet. He went to believing in that vest to save his life. The officer lived, and the homicide detective who investigated the case was J. Warner Wallace. J. Warner Wallace was an atheist for 35 years and a cold case detective, and he applied his skill to a 2,000-year-old murder. He had four eyewitness statements to go off of: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Using those detective skills, using logic, using reason and science to prove Christianity is called apologetics. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have." I had discovered that reason this summer. I had discovered apologetics. I'd believed before, but it was a blind faith. I believed that Christianity was true. My faith is now evidence-based. I believe in the evidence for the resurrection. I believe in the evidence that I see in my life around me that Christianity is true. And I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. As C.S. Lewis put it, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else."
Like Keith said, we dated in high school, and I have always known Keith as a Christian. He's always identified as a Christian, and we went to youth group together, we went to church together, and then when we started dating again and got married, we went to church together, but it seemed like there wasn't that spark. I would get ready for church some mornings, and he'd just decide to stay home, but there was missing a spark. But then this summer, we were on vacation, and instead of listening to his music or something on the radio, he was listening to different things. Like, first, I wasn't surprised because it was the J. Warner Wallace, and I knew he was starting to listen to him. But then we started listening to, like, things like Lee Strobel and different other preachers and stuff, and like, what's going on? And then after we got home, he got a study Bible and like got all these books, and instead of spending hours on his video games and computer games, he was reading the Bible, studying his Bibles, studying different Christian books, and I'm still like wondering what's going on, but just I could really see him grow these last several months. He's set up at our house now on Mondays. There's family night where we've been going through like studying a little bit with the kids on different children's studies and stuff, studying the Bible, and he's been coming to church even on days that I haven't been coming. Like if I've worked that day, he's been coming without me, and he's been coming to Link Group, and I've just really noticed a big change in his life, and it's just been encouraging to me, and I'm just praising God that he's been really even challenging me to do things, and I've just noticed this big difference in him, and I'm glad he's taken this step.